Our country is in trouble. We have turned our back on Almighty God, and we need His help. The only hope that I have for this country is if the church stands up and gets involved, and I realize if we don't get involved now, it may be too late. In 2016, I'm traveling to all 50 states to hold prayer rallies, calling our nation to God. We're calling it the Decision America Tour. We're asking people to pray, to vote, and engage in your community by living and sharing and standing for your faith. I believe the Church of Jesus Christ can make a difference in this country. God says in 2 Chronicles, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. I hope all of you churches will join me for the Decision America Tour, where we're going to be on the Capitol steps standing together and praying for our country. It's a prayer rally that can make a difference. So we need you to be a part of this, because if the Church of Jesus Christ would take a stand, then I believe we have hope for America.
See all of you out this morning, be in the Lord's house for worship today. Most of our announcements have already been covered in the slideshow or the bulletin, And if you do not have a bulletin, make sure you get one, because there are a lot of things going on this week and the next week in the bulletin. Do want to say, men, what's going on this week? What starts back this week? 33. So Tuesday night at 7:30, 33 starts back. And also Wednesday morning, the Wednesday morning group starts back at 6 o'clock. I do want to make mention, we had a couple in our church yesterday celebrate their 62 years of marriage, and that's Miss Libby and Mr. J.H. I don't think Mr. J.H. is able to be with us, but that's all the announcements I have, but I do have several thank you cards that have come in that I need to read to you. So our family would like to express our sincere appreciation for the wonderful memories and kind acts during the loss of our mother, wife, and grandmother, Lorraine Bagnall. We are so grateful to have family and friends to support us. You were all very great over the years, and we know she loves you very much. Please continue to remember us in your prayers. Sincerely, the Bagnalls. I have one from Mr. E. A dear board and church family, many thanks for the generous gift that you gave to me upon my retirement as church treasurer. It was a privilege to have served in this capacity for the past 11 years. I am most grateful to the board for the confidence it had in me and the overall support of my church family. May the Lord continue to bless as we all seek to do His will. In Christ, Ed Thigpen. And I have one. This is from the Quattlebaum family. To the pastor and the Southern Methodist Church family of Turbyville Southern Methodist Church, the monetary gift and floral arrangement were deeply appreciated. Sincerely, the family of the late Herbert Quattlebaum. That's all the announcements I have. Dr. Blank has just one or two he needs to make at this time.
Choir members, please note that it is not in the bulletin for some reason, but choir practice will be this evening following the fifth Sunday night service. Be here at 7 or about a quarter after. Certainly by the time everybody should be able to be here. Choir practice is tonight, however. Again, on the Faith Promise board, we notice we're up to almost 28,000 figures in the board, in the bulletin rather, in front of you. Please be praying about it. 17, I believe, is adults and only 2 young people so far. In your bulletin is a Faith Promise commitment card. During the service today, be praying about it. By now, you should have been prayed through that matter, and we're trusting that many, many, many more of you will join with us as we prepare for our new year of missions, outreach minister missions to our missionaries in the foreign field. If you're here this morning, you did not pick up a bulletin, and you do not have a faith promise in your hand, ushers, I believe there are some faith promises on your back there on your seat that you're on. If you need a faith promise card this morning, just raise your hand very quickly that they can get one to you. No one? All right, I'm assuming then everybody has one. Now there's only one further responsibility and privilege, and that is to fill it out today. You can either put it in the offering plate or to closing hymn, you can bring it to the altar here. But let's have everyone involved, and thank you for what you did last year. Because of that, we have exceeded last year's Faith Promise goal. Thank you as you continue supporting this part of God's world ministry. Thank you, church.
Thank you, Dr. Blank. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Father, we thank you so much for allowing us to be in your house today, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for not allowing us to have the health to be here today, Lord. And Father, we pray for those, Lord, who were not able to be here due to health reasons, Lord, and other afflictions, Lord. And Father, we just pray, Lord, that everything we do today, Lord, that is about you, Lord, it's about you and not us, that we worship you, Lord, and that we sing these songs for you, Lord, and Father, that we're here to worship you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
And truly we can say, as a family of God, this is the day the Lord has made, and we're rejoicing and glad in it. Joining together, let us join in the call to worship, Till the Whole World Knows, followed by hymn number 198, Wonderful Grace of Jesus. Church, stand together. We're now worshiping Him in song.
Till the whole world knows.
wonderful grace of Jesus. Together singing. You're standing, greet those around you, wishing God's blessing today.
Hey, on behalf of the Cartwright Men's Fellowship, Scott Green asked me to, he's back in the kitchen working with the meat we're going to be eating for lunch. but he asked me to give an announcement for the men's fellowship. We met Monday night. We meet the third Monday night of each month, and this at our meeting Monday night, we discussed a couple of things, and two of them I want to mention to you, or he wanted me to mention to you. One, if we contacted you about doing some work around your house or your yard, we have not forgotten about you. The nasty weather and the wetness and the coldness, but it's still on our list, and I promise you that we are will be there sooner than later. The other thing that we talked about Monday night was one of our own church members, Mr. Julian Gamble. You know, most of you know that Mr. Julian now is not able to travel. His health is declining somewhat, and we do talk to him on the telephone from time to time, but we decided that we wanted to visit Mr. Julian because a lot of the guys would like to see Mr. Julian because I don't know what the Lord's plans are for Mr. Julian or for even any of us, but we wanted to go see him. So we've decided that this coming Saturday, we're going to be leaving the church about 7:30 and traveling up to Taylor, South Carolina. Mr. Julian is staying with his daughter, Julianne, and it takes about 3 hours to get there. So, I mean, what I'm asking you or to consider, if you have an inclination to, is to give up your Saturday. I know that's not going to be possible for all of you, but we're going to be leaving about 7:30. Traveling up to Taylor's, we're going to visit with Mr. Julian during the middle of the day for probably an hour, maybe two, and then return home. But if you have an interest in wanting to go, Scott didn't give me authority to do this, but hey, if you're going to make a day trip out of something and you're going to visit someone that's from the church, I'm of the opinion you want to carry as many people as you can carry. So men, women, hey, and if you bring children, Hey, just be a long day. But our plans are, unless something changes, to leave the church about 7:30 this coming Saturday morning. We'll be traveling to see Mr. Julian, and he's already excited. We've already had some conversation because, obviously, you can't show up unannounced. They're very excited about a group from the church coming, and so please consider that, and if you have an interest in doing that, we'll see you Saturday morning.
1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived of what the Lord has prepared for those that love him. In other words, what Paul's saying is God's going to blow your mind with what God has prepared for you. The only thing we've got to do is follow, and the closer we follow to him, the more he's going to astound us with the things that he has prepared for our lives. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for today and for the opportunity just already to be together, to worship, to give ourselves to you, to recognize that when we come here on Sunday morning, it is not about us, it is about you. And so, Lord, as we open our hearts to you and our lives to you, may we surrender, giving all that we have, humbly approaching you and your throne and simply seeking that grace that we just sang about again. A grace that had truly changed our lives the moment we invited you into our hearts, but a grace that continues to sustain us and give us the strength that we need for each passing day. And Lord, we thank you that your word is so clear about how that when we truly are following, that Lord, you've got some great things planned. That if we will look to the nations and watch, that we'll just be astounded at what you're going to do. And Lord, as we were reminded even last week how that the things that you're doing in this world, you're wanting to do through us, your church. So, Lord, use us that others might see, indeed, your light shining bright. Lord, we thank you for, again, a church that is willing to go and reach out to those in need. We pray for the coming trip this Saturday. And Mr. Julian, we ask your blessing upon the travels. But certainly, Lord, may the presence of your people brighten Mr. Julian's day. And, Lord, we know that today we've heard there's several that are out sick, and it's been going around, and you know what's going on. And Lord, even though they wanted to be here physically, they couldn't. So we're praying that your spirit would just reach down and just give them a special touch of grace in this moment. Again, Lord, we want this to be about you and about, Lord, hearing you speak to us so that we can respond. In Jesus' name, amen.
Ushers, if you will, please come forward to receive our offering.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you again, Lord, for every gift that you give us, Lord, and all the blessings that you've bestowed upon us, Lord. And Father, we just pray that this portion that we give back, Lord, Father, I just pray and we pray, Lord, that you use it to glorify your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Following the singing of our next hymn of praise to our Lord, Brother Walls will come and share the message God has laid in his heart. While singing number 495, we'll dismiss our children and children's church workers for their place of worship for the remaining service time. Number 495, standing and praising our God in song at this time. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. And all of God's people said, amen. Thank you, church. You may be seated.
Zig Ziglar. Boy, what a name for you, right? Oh, Zig. Motivational speaker. Often used this line. He said, if you aim at nothing, you hit it every time. And I think, I haven't been to one of his motivational speeches, but I'm thinking that what he's trying to say is, look, it is important at what you aim at, because you hit what you aim at. Other people have said, you know what, you are what you think. And really, there's a lot of studies that show that if you think you can do something, more often than not, you're able to do it. And vice versa, if you don't think you can, then typically you find out you can't. But let's bring Jesus into this for just a moment. It is Sunday morning, right? I mean, let's put him in with Zig and some of these others. But Jesus said this. He said, what comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For from within, what's inside of you. See, out of a man's heart come evil thoughts. But then he also gave us a list of things expressed with what those evil thoughts are. And he said things like sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, those things. In other words, they all seem to be kind of painting a picture, right? That it is important that we keep our minds focused in the right direction, that we have the proper goals in life, that we're aiming for the right things, because oftentimes what we're aiming at, that's what we're going to hit. And so we ought to be aiming for good stuff. And I'm sure this morning, by the way, I'm confident in you this morning. As sharp as you all are this morning, if I were to give you just a couple of minutes, I believe you would come up at some really good goals or some really good things to aim at. You know, you might come up with something. Some of the guys might say, you know, man, it's my goal to be the best father and husband I can be. And those are that would be an excellent goal this morning for us as men. But it's also true that just setting a goal, well, it doesn't accomplish the goal. If we don't do anything to see that become a reality, then it doesn't. It's like the mottos we have for our missions come, until the whole world knows. But if we're not doing anything to reach the world, then just some words, right? It's a worthy goal, but nothing's happening. And so if a guy says, I want to be the best husband and father that I can be, and yet they're spending 120 hours a week at work and they're never at home, I don't care what they're saying. I know what their real goal is. And the real goal is not to be a good husband or father. So what we believe in, see, what we truly believe in, that is what we'll invest in. I mean, if someone says, oh, I just didn't have time, what they're telling me, it wasn't a priority. Because if it was a priority, they would have time to do it. It's just that simple, right? Well, this morning, I'm going to lay out what I believe God wants us to aim at, to make a worthy goal for our lives and even for our church. And it comes out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And by the way, that whole chapter is full of good stuff, right? But we're going to pick up reading in verse 6 through verse 10. So stand with me for the reading of the word this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 through 10. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and to be at home with the Lord. And so we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. You may be seated, but don't close your Bibles yet. If you are a marker in your Bible, and I, if you look at my Bible, clearly am. I underline things, I make little notes to myself that I believe to God. If you're an underliner, then I want you to take out your pen or whatever it is that you mark in your Bible with, and I want you to go to verse 9. Bless you. In verse 9 it says, we make it our goal to please Him. Our goal to please Him. Now, if you want to build your life on one particular goal, something that you can live the rest of your life seeking to fulfill, and it will get you where you want to be. You'll be aiming at the right thing. Then make it your goal to please Him in everything that you do. And it really is going to be simple, right, to please Him, to figure out what pleases Jesus and what doesn't please Him. Two simple questions. If I do this, will He be pleased? If I don't do this, will He be pleased? That's it. You ask yourselves those two questions. And you listen for the Spirit that is within you. As Christians, the Spirit lives within us. If you ask those questions with sincerity and in humbleness, the Lord will let you know whether what you're about to do is going to please Him or it will displease Him. And if we will simply go about our lives doing these things, that will get us to where we want to be. But are we really interested? I mean, I know it's Sunday, you know, we're here, it's Sunday morning, but are we really interested in doing that? Are we really interested in making it our aim and goal to please Christ this morning? Because to please Him, if we're going to have the courage to go forward, and if we're going to please Him, we've got to go forward, then it often means we've got to turn loose of some stuff that we've been hanging on to. Even as churches, sometimes churches don't move forward because they're too busy hanging on to what they did in the past rather than trying to find the future. Because remember, God has prepared great things for us, right? And it wasn't just that He's going to give us great things back here, but there's great things up in front of us. So a lot of times to move forward, to really make it our aim to please Him, we have got to turn loose of that stuff which is keeping us from getting behind Him and moving forward. And if we're going to head out into the future, it also means that we're going to be traveling across territory that we've never seen before. And that's scary, and I think that's I think it's just the way it is, and I think sometimes that's one of the great reasons why we're afraid to step over the line and really commit ourselves to pleasing Him, because we're afraid of where it's going to lead us. But I can tell you this, because Jesus said, I came to seek and to save the lost. If we are going to please Him, then we must be about doing what He came to do. That's why the church here. Remember last week, what a powerful message we heard about how that mission is what God does, but that He does it through us, the church. Wow, see, to please Christ is to be willing to go wherever He wants you to go. And if we're going to please Christ, it's going to take a lot of faith. I mean, a lot of faith. I mean, Paul said it, right? We read it. It's also one of the things I'd underline in that passage, by the way. We live by faith and not by sight. But even more plain than what Paul wrote to the Corinthians, what we find in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And so the more faith that we have, the more pleased He is with us. And so are we really interested in living a life of faith? Now, faith's hard. Let's be honest with each other this morning, right? I'd rather live by sight than by faith. I would rather that when God's doing something, that God would tell me why He's doing it. But that doesn't happen most of the time, and that's not faith, right? And when you think about faith, it also means that faith is not fatalistic. You know, in Spanish, it's que sera, sera. In other words, whatever will be. No. God has a plan. God is sovereign. God's at work. It's not fatalistic. It is wrong for us to attribute the things that are going on in our lives and in our church to faith or luck. Look, neither one exists if you believe in the sovereignty and the power of Almighty God. My life, I'm not lucky. I'm under the sovereign hand of my Lord. I'm not fatalistic, though. It don't matter what I do. It's just this is the way it's got to be. No. I believe that God has given us choices, and when we make the right choices, we are blessed, and we become a blessing to others. Faith is not fatalistic. Neither is it presumptuous. Presumptuous says, if I do this, I can manipulate God so that God has to do that. And that never works, by the way. God cannot be manipulated. Faith is hard. It's believing that God's will is not only good, but it's right and that it is best. I mean, sometimes it just doesn't seem best to us, does it? I mean, there's things that come into our lives like, I don't know how this can be best, God. I mean, I spent over a year and a half struggling with God when God was calling me into the ministry, and I knew what God was wanting, but I just didn't see how that could possibly be best for me. Teresa and I, we had good jobs. We liked our jobs. Everything was going good. I don't like to stand up and talk in front of people. God, this can't be good. All right? And I got to confess, there were times I said, God, you're just not listening to me. Yeah. It wasn't until I surrendered and accepted the faith that God was offering to me that I found not only the joy, but I found the power of what it means to live a life of faith. I found out what following was all about. See, faith's hard, but it's best. See, faith tells us that if we're going to please the Lord, if we're going to make it our goal to please Him, then again, we've got to care about people. All right? In Hebrews it says, do not forget to do good and share with others, for with such sacrifices, with helping people who are in need, with such sacrifices, God is pleased. See, Scripture's pretty clear. If we're going to care about people, we're going to, you know, that's something God is pleased with. And if we're really going to care about people, we're going to have faith, because there's a lot of people I really would prefer not to care about. But the more we allow faith and His presence living and active in our lives, the more all of a sudden we see us truly caring about people and wanting them to come to the saving knowledge of who Jesus is. Now, thankfully, we don't do any of this alone. I mean, part of caring for people is caring for each other, our brothers and sisters. Paul put it this way. He said, I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. These gifts are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. See, they're giving, they're active supporting Paul in what Paul or God had called Paul to do. That was an act of faith, and it was something that pleased God. If you were looking at the slides this morning, pay attention. I said missions is an investment. It is not an expense, folks. If you're looking at FPP as an expense that's going to come out of your paycheck every single month, you're looking at it wrong. It's an investment, and it's not an investment in missionaries. It is an investment in God's mission that He has called all of us to be involved in. All right? So as we give, as we support, then God is pleased with these things. But the great thing is, as we live out our faith together, we find how we make each other better than we can be without each other. I mean, that's true. We really are. Our faith, we're able to please Him and to stay close to Him because we have each other. I was reading an interview that Vince Lombardi gave years ago about, you know, they would ask him all kinds of questions. I mean, back when the Packers were the team, right? And he said, look, there's a lot of good coaches. There's a lot of good teams. In fact, there's a lot of teams that do seemingly most everything right, but they still lose. And he said this, and I'll quote, the difference between mediocrity and greatness is the feeling that these guys have for each other. In other words, he said, when they were lining up side by side with each other, they really had to care about that guy next to them. Think about that. As we get ready to go out and do battle with a world that is full of evil and darkness and sin, we're doing it together, and we have to really care about each other, right? We've got each other's backs. Recently, I heard somebody say, yeah, I want somebody to have my back, but I don't want them to have a knife in it. Exactly. Exactly. We want to have each other's back here. That's a pleasing sacrifice to the Lord. See, together we can get the word out, right? And what is that word? In Psalms, it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It is a word that is living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating even to the dividing of soul and spirit. And that sounds pretty precise to me. It is a word that changes things because it is a word that never comes back void or empty from the purpose for which God sent it. It is a word that is embodied in Jesus Christ. Listen to this passage out of the book of Revelation. I saw heaven standing open. And there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses, dressed in fine linen, white and clean, and out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God, and on his robe and on his thigh he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Folks, we're trying to please the King of Kings and Lord. That's the word that we are to get out today. And it is that word that transforms lives. We miss so much today simply because we don't allow our faith to grow and we don't follow. Look, he died for us. He took our sins. He rose 3 days later. He's alive. He's interceding for us, which means even when we continue to make a mess out of our lives, he's there to straighten us back up and get us back on the right track. But on all of those things, right? He died. He arose. He intercedes. And according to Paul, someday we're going to stand before him. It says everyone someday will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him, the things done while in the body, whether they're good or whether they're bad. Jesus is Savior, but he's also separator. Three stories in the book of the Gospel of Matthew makes that clear. There was a separation of the good fish from the bad fish. There was a separation from the wheat from the tares. There was a separation from the sheep from the goats. And in each of these stories, the separation means there was a separation of the saved from the unsaved. And what side of the separation that we end up on is up to us, because he did die for us, right? You can't stop Jesus from dying. He's already done that. He's already forgiven you. But if you refuse to accept him into your life, if you say, here I am, Lord, I want you to be a part of my... If you don't do that, then the judgment won't go well. I don't know how else to say it. All right? But if you do, when you stand before Jesus, you'll not be standing between somebody that says, depart from me, I never... You're going to be standing in front of your Savior that says, he or she belongs to me. For those who've stepped over this line into the light of salvation, see, it's more than words. If we're truly going to make it our aim, our goal, if we're going to strive, or if we're going to make it our ambition to please him, then we're going to have to work. We're going to have to give ourselves to him. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And that means there's no picking and choosing, right? I like this one. I don't like that one. No, no picking or choosing. It's about being sold out 100% to Jesus. And you know what? You can see love, and you can see faith. Many Christians today really... they're not living the victorious life. They're not as happy as they ought to be. And it's really simple. They know what's right, but they're not doing it. They know what God wants them to do, but they're refusing to step over the line and to follow. And I got to tell you, God does not accept leftovers. To please Christ is to serve Christ in everything. Galatians 6. The one who sows to please the sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Now, doesn't that sound to me like you hit what you aim for? Right? Where are you aiming? See, and are we aiming high enough? As Christians, should we not, I mean, if we really believe that we serve this almighty King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's got the whole world in his hand, should we not be aiming high? Should we not let the Lord open our eyes to a vision that he has for us, rather than often sitting back and saying, I don't know how we can get that done, when God said, no, this is what I want for you to do. Is pleasing God really something we talk about or something we do? Ann Benefield, in a sermon she preached once, spoke about a book that she had read about Mexico, and she said the basic premise of the book was the Mexicans were voting with their feet. In other words, they were leaving Mexico and all the poverty and all the corruption and everything, and they were just dissatisfied. And the point of the book was they were voting. You could tell that they were dissatisfied because they were leaving. And then she made the great spiritual point, look, we vote with our feet. We vote with our feet. If we come to worship, we're making a vote for the Lord. Whatever we do tomorrow, we vote with our feet, the things that we do. And so if our goal is to please Him, we've got to step over the line and become a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I've read this to you before, but I read it again. In fact, I read it periodically every year because I love the power of these words. It's entitled, The Fellowship of the Unashamed. I am part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have the Holy Spirit power. The die has been cast. I've stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I will not look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past redeemed. My present makes sense. My future secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tame visions, mundane talking, chintzy given, and dwarfed goals. I do not need preeminence, prosperity, promotions, plaudits, or popularity. I don't have to be right, first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I live by presence, lean by faith, love by patience, lift by prayer, and labor in His power. My pace is set, my gate is fast, my goal is heaven, my road is narrow. The way is rough, my companions few, but my guide is reliable and my mission clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, deterred, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice or hesitate in the presence of adversity, negotiate at the table of the enemy or ponder at the pool of popularity or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I will not give up, back up, let up, shut up until I have preached up, prayed up, paid up, stored up, and stayed up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. And I will go until He returns, give until I drop, preach until all know, and work until He comes. And He will come again. And when He comes again, He'll have no problem recognizing me because my colors will be clear. We need to step over. If we're going to truly make it our goal to please Him, then it is time for us to step over the line. And the question is this morning, and it's smacking each and every one of us in the face, regardless of who we are we going to step over that line this morning and walk with Him or not? I can't make that choice for you. You can't make it for me. But I know that the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings is right here amongst us saying, I want you to be a part of my family. I want you to be a part of what I'm doing. I want you to step over the line. He is either Savior or He will be separator. And the choice belongs to each of us. This morning, I'm going to ask Miss Gladys and Mary to come to play. We're not going to sing a song. I want them to play a couple of verses here in just a moment. I'm not even going to ask you to stand up. Thank you for stepping over the line. Truth is, I know His heart and I know that He has, but this is a holy moment, folks. And I'll go ahead and say it before you think it. Look, don't worry about the ham after a while, all right? It'll be there. What's real important is that you're listening for the Lord's voice of the Lord this morning. I'm not going to ask you to stand because you can cross over the line sitting. You don't have to stand. You may decide you want to step over that line this morning and be a full-fledged disciple of Jesus, and maybe you feel compelled to stand. Well, then stand. You may be compelled to come and pray. Then come and pray. The point is, make the decision to step over the line this morning. All I'm asking is that you respect the people around you. So you close your eyes, you listen to the Lord, and you make your decision this morning. Ladies, if you would please play. We've experienced your presence. And in this moment, we've heard your call upon our lives. And we thank you for that call. And I thank you for those willing servants today that they truly have made it their goal to please you. Lord, as we make it our aim to step over the line, give us the faith that we'll need to be courageous and strong. Give us a vision of what you want for our lives and what you want for our church. Lord, give us, Lord, the grace that we might be willing servants of you. Lord, this really is about you. And it is about us giving ourselves to you. Oh Lord, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, may you reign in us. In Jesus' name, amen. I think I'm supposed to have prayer before. We're not going to sing anything at the end. I'm almost supposed to pray for the food, right? I think I'll pray for food. That way we don't have to wait. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the food. Thank you for the hands that provided it. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.